Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
1.1 million people, around 90% of them Jewish, died at the Auschwitz-Birkenau concentration camp and extermination complex. That's the official name of one of the bleakest places on Earth. On a cold January day, exactly 70 years ago, Soviet forces liberated the camp in Oswiecim, Poland. Among the survivors, Lily Applebaum Malnick.
And they said, from now on, you do not answer by your name. Your name is your number. And the delusion, the disappointment, the discouragement that I felt like I was not a human person anymore.
Lily's testimony of what it was like to become a number in the Auschwitz camp before liberation. That voice comes from the U.S. Holocaust Memorial and Museum Oral History Project. Is it possible to anticipate such barbarity and to signal a warning? Was there a voice that might have been heeded as Hitler won the hearts of Germans in the 1930s? It's a lesson in question for today as world leaders gather to commemorate the liberation of Auschwitz quietly, along with 300 former prisoners. This is from one of today's numerous commemoration ceremonies. Could today's much smaller scale brutality in Syria have been predicted, and long before the Civil War? Same with atrocities in Rwanda and the Balkans in our time? In the case of Hitler, the answer is yes. As early as 1923, a Catholic philosopher and ethicist named Dietrich von Hildebrand stood up against National Socialism, the Nazi movement, and warned of its dark aspirations. Joining us now is John Henry Crosby, principal editor and translator of My Battle Against Hitler, Faith, Truth, and Defiance in the Shadow of the Third Reich, the memoir of Dietrich von Hildebrand. Welcome to The Takeaway, John Henry.
Very happy to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Was Mr. Hildebrand sending out a warning in his fight against National Socialism?
Oh, absolutely. He was, I think one can say, arguably the first prominent German figure, though his name has yet to be fully remembered and recovered today, but he was the first prominent German figure to identify, recognize the evil of National Socialism and to publicly denounce it. In fact, you mentioned the date 1923. Already in 1921, he was denouncing German nationalism, particularly aggression during World War I, and this put him onto the radar of the very, very nascent Nazi movement. And in 1923, when Hitler first attempted to seize power, von Hildebrand's already principled and opened fight against National Socialism was so well known that he had to flee for his life.
And this wasn't a political battle over, throw the bums out. This party can't do as well as another party. This was very much striking at the core of the National Socialist ideology, right?
Absolutely. This was a battle of ideas first and foremost. But as von Hildebrand would have said, the very thing that National Socialism was an ideology. It was a confused and evil ball of ideas. But nevertheless, it began to hold sway and to gain purchase on people's imaginations. And so von Hildebrand, in decrying it, was in some sense at the very tip of the spear in the resistance movement.
So many historians have written about how Germans were in denial, and so many people in Europe and around the world couldn't believe that the final solution would actually be implemented by Hitler. Did Hildebrand believe that that was, in fact, the case? And how did he warn of this?
Yes, for von Hildebrand, at the very heart of his opposition to National Socialism was his opposition to anti-Semitism. He felt that anti-Semitism was somehow one of its most evil fruits. And this is very important because at the time there were a good number of people who were anti-Nazi politically and so on. They opposed Hitler. They preferred other political parties, but they were themselves anti-Semitic. And they were anti-Semitic in a very subtle way. And this is something von Hildebrand, this is one of his great achievements, that he could recognize that this kind of socially acceptable, almost polite anti-Semitism, which viewed Jews as a negative and destructive presence in European culture and society, this highly rationalized scapegoating that went on in Germany and in Austria and throughout Europe. Von Hildebrand felt that this was precisely the gateway drug, you might say, that caused people to be captured by National Socialism. He says in one of his essays that anti-Semitism was the forerunner of National Socialism, and it broke down the moral barrier, he says, because people couldn't see clearly. they were taken in by this appeal to something that was very much alive at the time, and so they couldn't see. So later on, in fact, von Hildebrand says in one place, he said, people didn't see the way I saw. He says this in his memoirs. They didn't anticipate the rivers of blood that would come because they were so captivated by the siren song of National Socialism, which was very much embodied in this stoking of anti-Semitism that Hitler did so well.
Was the Catholic Church, von Hildebrand's church, also captured by this enticement of National Socialism?
Well, you know, it's I think the answer to that is that it was a heartbreaking fact for him that there were many, many people in the Catholic Church who were taken by this, who sought to rationalize it. It wasn't necessarily a kind of formal embracing of it. It was rather that, again, this was such a kind of cultural and social weakness. So many people were captivated by it that many Christians sought to rationalize it, give it a kind of Christian veneer. The other half of the story is that there were many Christians like von Hildebrand who raised their voices and who saw the horror of it. And so I think the best way of remembering Hildebrand on this legacy is that perhaps he helped more than anyone else to purify, let's just say it, a kind of Christian weakness for falling for the temptation of anti-Semitism at the time and for rationalizing it.
Why is he such an obscure figure in history today, and why was his warning so little heeded at the time?
You know, that's a very good question, but the main reason for it lies in von Hildebrand himself. In his own day, his voice was loudly heard. Hitler wanted him liquidated. There were numerous assassination attempts. He was warned by the chief of the secret police in Vienna, where he had established an anti-Nazi newspaper, that he was in danger. But he himself, in later years, never sought to call any attention to what he had achieved. So in his own day, his voice was loudly heard. And yet, that reputation in some sense faded, you might say, when von Hildebrand arrived as a refugee in the United States in 1940, and he sought to begin his life over again. You might say the theme of his life shifted so fundamentally that he was no longer preoccupied with calling attention to his witness. He didn't think of himself as a hero. He thought of himself as acting the way any Christian and philosopher was obligated to act at the time. So it's due to the fact that his second wife said to him, I've missed so much of your life. And he said, well, I'll write it down for you. And so he proceeded to write a memoir of some 5,000 pages. So it's only now, finally, that in his own words, we have the story. And my hope, of course, is that his star will rise again.
Author and historian John Henry Crosby is the principal editor and translator of My Battle Against Hitler, Faith, Truth, and Defiance in the Shadow of the Third Reich, the memoir of Dietrich von Hildebrand. John Henry, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
Support for The Takeaway comes from TIAA CREF, a financial services company helping to create financial outcomes that matter. Learn more at TIAA.org. And LegalZoom, for over 10 years providing solutions for business owners, families, and individuals to get legal help, including incorporation, LLCs, wills, and living trusts. Legal help is at LegalZoom.com.